Hi there. My name is Bea Bonner, and you're listening to Community Voices right here on NPR Illinois. Today, I am talking to Asa Norris, owner of 1912 Barn.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you today? Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Jumping right in, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and where you're from?
I am from Niantic, Illinois, which is between Decatur and Springfield. We're about 20-25 minutes from Springfield. And my husband and I own the 1912 Barn in Niantic, which is a retreat, wedding venue, party place, just a great place to get out of the city and come and enjoy time with friends and family.
Now, can you talk a little bit about the history? I was reading up a lot about it, and there's just a lot that I think our listeners will really enjoy hearing. I mean, even just buying the land for, 10 cents an acre? I was like, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. We're actually on a historic piece of property, and there's a 110-year-old barn sitting here. And when we moved here a few years ago, my husband and I were hot air balloon pilots, and we're looking for a place to fly our hot air balloon from. And we found this great property just outside of town. And when we got here, we realized there were some really unique things. There was some writing on like an old horse trough and on the side of the barn. And so we were kind of intrigued with who was there. And so we began looking into the history of the barn. And actually, this whole property was bought in 1851 for 10 cents an acre because they thought this area was swampland. And now it's beautiful corns and bean, you know, but at that time they thought it would flood out a lot. So it wasn't very expensive to buy. And the Bernard family bought it and they grew hemp here. And hemp was then gathered up, put on the railroad and either sent to California during the gold rush, or it was sent over to the river for them to use on barges and things going up and down the river. So that family lived here for many, many years, raised their children. Their children lived here. And at that point, then, the Dunn family bought this property. They raised their children here. They all grew up. And then we ended up buying the property from them. So we're actually the third family to live on the property. And actually, the Bernard's cemetery plots, their landscape as far as what was here before, from pony stables to corn cribs, we were able to get in touch with a family member from California. So they pointed us in the right direction. And you could actually go almost a mile down the road and you can see the family cemetery. And they have a bench there that looks back onto this property that was put in by family members at one time. So it's really pretty unique. When you're here, you can see things written inside the barn doors in pencil where people were trading steers and so much for corn. And it's just really interesting to find all those old things in this on this property. And so it's been pretty exciting to live here. So we've wanted to take care of it and keep it historic.
That sounds like a very deep and rich history, but something you said really just caught my attention and it kind of threw me off a little bit. You said you were a hot air balloon pilot. Like, how did you all get into that?
Well, my husband was a hot air balloon pilot and he used to fly the big Garcia tomato across the fields at U of I years and years ago. And I lived in Lincoln at the time and was involved with the United Way. And got to fly, and they say, you fly once, you're hooked for life, and I was. So years later, I had met my husband and got a balloon myself, and he and I used to fly hot air balloons all over central Illinois and out to Albuquerque, and had a great time doing that. So we've had a pretty exciting life. We've had really great careers, and we both are retired, and moved out here, and ballooning kind of went to the side because our other business started taking off. And I think we enjoy that just as much.
Was the transition from the hot air balloons to owning the barn such a big change, or was it hard to kind of go through that transition?
No, actually, we were doing both simultaneously for a while. And that started just because we had a great spot and all our friends would come here and have parties. And then we started having people call us and say, hey, would you think about doing a wedding out there? And we're like, well, heck, we've never done a wedding before. You know, same thing, social party, we're in for that. We'll have a good time. So we said yes. And the first couple came and they actually helped us mow grass and pull weeds because the barn was not really prepared for a wedding, should I say. You know, it had had still the original straw in it from the 50s. When we were cleaning it up, we'd opened some areas up and we found some possums and we found some carcasses of like squirrels that were just bones left and all. I mean, it was kind of interesting. I'll say that. So we got the barn all cleaned up. And basically it had this beautiful wood inside. It's actually post and beam. So there aren't many barns like that anymore. It still has the original wood siding outside. So it's not a pole building. It's actually a two-story or two-and-a-half-story barn with an old hayloft in it and steps and ladders. And so we got it ready and had the first wedding, and it went pretty good. So the next year, word of mouth got out, and we did a couple more. And it grew and grew until we were doing about 35 events a year. We started out doing, you know, just a couple, and had to get special permission from the county and things to start the business, which we did. It's kind of a learning curve, but the transitioning from hosting people flying balloons for their special day, you know, because that would usually be a bucket list or wedding engagement or something special. So we just went to holding special parties, retirements, birthdays, weddings, and that just kind of grew into what we have today. So outside of just local word of mouth, we haven't had to do much advertising. We stay pretty busy.
And I'm assuming you don't have to take any more carcasses out every year now, huh?
No, I don't. Thank goodness. We do have chickens on the property and my dogs chase them around, but no more cleanup like that. But I think, you know, when you figure that barn was sitting there for 100 years with actual animals in it, and to make the conversion, people come in and they're just shocked because they see old size and trunks and things that we've salvaged or friends have given us from their family. Like there's a trunk in the barn that came from Europe that was given to a friend for her dad on his farm. And when she didn't know what to do with it, she handed it to us. So we're getting these pieces of memorabilia from people that come from the early 1900s, which are really neat. So when schools come out for field trips, I teach them about how you used to wash clothes and get water out of the well and do those kinds of things too. So it's a lot of fun.
So when you're doing all these weddings and events, I assume it takes a lot of preparation. How big is your team?
It's my husband and I. He always says he's the custodian for the 1912 barn, but I couldn't do it without him. I mean, he's built beautiful bar tops inside. He put railings upstairs that match like the horse rails between the stalls so that it would be and look authentic. And the wood actually came, which is 100-year-old fir that he built it out of. He's a wonderful carpenter. So he's able to build and do the things that I wanted. And then we usually try to have kids from our community and a few local women come in and help me each summer. And so they come in and they get their first work experience, busing tables, parking cars, keeping the fire pits going, just general assistance. So for a lot of kids, 14 and 15, I'm their first job. And in the country, in Niantic, we have a Quick Mart. So it's not like you can go down to McDonald's and get a job. So we try to employ some local kids in the summer, just a few weekends, and help us with the larger weddings. And that's been great.
That's awesome. And now that just has me thinking, what's the most extravagant event or wedding you all have put on so far?
Oh, wow. We have actually put on weddings of 250 plus. They've had beautiful tents put out in the yard. One wedding had wanted nothing to do with the barn. We have 6.5 acres here next to a big, beautiful field and then surrounded by corn and beans and just unbelievable blue skies and night skies that are starry. So we've had a few big tents put up and then had one wedding specifically was like all delicate chinas and teacups and crystal chandeliers. And so you come out to this property and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I thought I was going to a barn. And it's this very elegant evening. We've had weddings with dueling pianos and comedians, cigar bars and food trucks, fire trucks. We've had weddings where people have come around in a vintage limo on the property and the bride exit this beautiful old car. We've had traditional things from, tractors. One time we had a wedding here with fire trucks from two local firemen got married here. And she and her husband, because it's volunteer, they had a lot of their friends from the fire department in the wedding. So the whole fire department had to be parked in my driveway in case there was an emergency. And so the whole driveway is lined up with fire trucks. We had a wedding that was couples who loved motorcycles. So the whole driveway was lined up with motorcycles and people looked at their motorcycles. And so those kinds of things have been really neat. We've had antique car clubs here. We've had groups of campers come. We've done outdoor fundraisers for some schools. They have actually done barn dances here. And they've had a rodeo kind of theme. And they had a buck and bronco kind of mechanical bull. And people were taking the mechanical bull. And, you know, so it's been a lot of fun. You know, we've met so many wonderful people from Central Illinois, and people do come from St. Louis and Chicago, Indianapolis, Kansas City, because they just kind of meet up here as a family. And so it's been great fun.
The next time you have the mechanical bull, please call me. I will come tell you all a good time.
I just sat next to it and watched everybody, and a few people, they waited till they had a few drinks to give it a try. You know, not everybody had the courage without that, but you know, it was a great night for them. I know the school raised over $12,000 with fundraising things that they did that night. And you know, we try every year to do two fundraisers for the community. We've done a fundraiser for a young lady who needed a heart transplant. We've done a fundraiser to raise money for an occupational therapist friend of mine who passed away, and we started a scholarship in her name. We feel like we've been fortunate to live here and been so blessed that we can give back. And so every year we get contacted just kind of arbitrarily, and we hold a fundraiser here, one or two, and more people learn about us and we enjoy that experience. So we've really been fortunate to live here and share this with so many people in our community.
That's awesome. And I know COVID-19 has been rough for a lot of people because all of a sudden we can't have big events. We can't have all these weddings. So how has it affected you all and maybe just the wedding industry and event industry as a whole?
Oh, well, initially everyone panicked. All my weddings last year called, you know, in March going, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And I said, let's just breathe a minute and figure it out. So for a few of the weddings, when we were still under the heavy restrictions of less than 10, we had brides who came and we set the barn up and they came with their 10 guests and we ran Zoom weddings. And so through the use of cameras and Zoom, their guests and family watched them get married on their original date. And then we postponed their parties until later in the year, last year or this year, so that they had that opportunity to be with family and friends. Another advantage we had is once we were allowed to open up at 25 and 50% capacity, we're on 6.5 acres. So we were able to get larger tents, spread people out, put people under the lights. We have this big set of trees around the barn and we have night lights there. So people sat under the lights and people learned to keep in their pod or their community. So we were able to adjust with that. But it was, you know, a big change for everyone in thinking what to do. All our caterers who came in had to have extra new precautions. We went to additional restrooms and cleaning more frequently, required our staff to wear masks and visors and put up screens and marked where to get in line, added hand washing stations. So a lot of things we tried to eliminate from the bride having to think about, what can I do? Even with a wedding you know, 75 people or 50 people, everyone had to have new precautions. And so we struggled a bit last year, not having as many things. So we pivoted and started doing more HIP camp. And HIP camp is an opportunity for people to come and camp on the farm property or sleep in the brass bed upstairs on the second floor. And they would come from all over and just have the property to themselves. We'd stay on at the house and at the front of our property, and they could be out with their families and kids and explore nature, chase the chickens, gather eggs, and camp and enjoy away from other people. So they felt less, you know, claustrophobic. People just fell in love with it.
And is there any event or something coming up at the barn, maybe towards the spring or the summer, that you would like to tell our listeners about? We're always trying to find something to do these days.
Yeah. Well, you know, we do tours anytime. Anybody can message us and say, hey, can we come out to the barn? We encourage families to come out and see the property. We always have scavenger hunt sheets out for them to grab a scavenger hunt sheet and find things around the property, from bird's nests to where the bunnies are being born. Or so that's kind of a fun thing to do. We will still be doing HIP camp this year. That usually starts up in March. And so we'll have families coming in and out camping. And if they don't have a place or tent, they actually sleep in the barn. April 25th from 1 to 3, we'll be doing our outdoor bridal fair that we usually do every year. And we'll have local vendors. And we really hit people who are small businesses, local, who can support brides and couples. And they come and meet the vendors. Brides will come out and sell things from their weddings to other brides. And then they come out and get to taste food from caterers and mull around the property. So people love doing that as well. And then if anybody has any idea of something they'd want to try, we're always open to, you know, coming up with a new idea.
How about you go ahead and tell us your website, any social media information that you may want to give?
Sure. You can find us on Illinois Local, which I believe is a great site for Springfield and the surrounding area. You also can find us on Facebook by just searching 1912 Barn, or you can find us at 1912barn.org. There you will see all kinds of pictures and hear a little history about the barn. And then we do have some YouTubes up that show you from bridal shows to just great photos of the barn and some things you can do. And brides can also connect with us on Illinois Brides on a Budget, because everybody's had to rethink how we are spending our dollars today. So we started Illinois Brides on a Budget, and we have a lot of vendors there who are offering specials as we're all trying to get restarted again. Give us a call, come visit. We have people just pop in. Sometimes they're out on a bicycle ride out in the country and they pull in the drive and say, hey, can we see the barn? And we're like, come on in. So we really enjoy having guests, and we look forward to that this summer.
You're listening to Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.